Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Welcome, welcome to Woman to Woman. Praise the Lord. This is Pastor Rebecca Simmons. It is a blessing. It is a blessing and an honor to be able to come to you on a Friday night. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. It's been a while. It has been a while since I've been with you. I've had so much going on. I've had a couple of women's conferences, and tomorrow is a busy day. I did not want another week to go by without me coming to be here with you. So I am here. I'm a little delayed. It's Friday night. I actually was in the middle of doing some other things, and I said, wow, I need to go and do the broadcast. We have an exciting broadcast planned for tonight, Woman to Woman, hooking up for marriage and dating via the internet. Is that God? Can God be in that internet hookup? Can you meet your husband, woman of God, on the internet? Can God use a dating service, internet dating service, or can God use MySpace or Facebook or some other social network to introduce you to that man or to that woman? You know, we want to talk about it, amen. So let somebody know that we're here. I'm opening up the switchboard, and I'm just going to just continue to set up. Let somebody know that Pastor Rebecca Simmons is on the internet. The chat room is open, amen. And we are talking about internet dating and marriage. I'm going to play a little bit of music just to make sure everything's working, and I will be right back. Praise the Lord. You took everything that I was and made me what I am. I think I'm ready yet. I think I'm ready now. I think I am ready now. I've got a little bit rusty because it has been some time. And again, this is Pastor Rebecca Simmons from New Creation Christian Ministries at 8787 First Street in Elizabeth, New Jersey. It's 11 o'clock, y'all. It's after 11 o'clock on a Friday night. And I personally wanted to come and be with you on tonight. I don't know if you're listening live or if you're listening via the archive, but I want to welcome you to Woman to Woman. Normally I do a Saturday broadcast, at 1 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. But tomorrow my day is booked. I'm doing a lot of conferences, women's conferences, and it has been a blessed time to be able to go out and minister to women and men over the New Jersey tri-state area. So I just thank God for all of the invitations that I have gotten. I thank God for the radio broadcast that I have been invited to be on. But I especially thank God for all of you. Just give yourself a round of applause, you know, to praise God for being there. Praise God for being attentive, for being there to call in. I will be opening up the switchboard. Now, I don't know who's up. It's Friday night. It's after 11 o'clock. A lot of people are worn out, just worn out from the week. I personally have had a very busy week. It's been an exciting week for me. So much has happened over the past 2 weeks, as a matter of fact. Last week, my baby girl turned 12 years old. So she's no longer 11, but she is 12. And how many of you women of God, how many of you mothers out there know that 12 is a bigger number than 11? That something kicks in when a child turns 12. My baby girl is growing up. My baby girl is growing up, and to God be the glory. She is growing up. She's getting independent. She's not as attached to me as she always has. And how many of you know that that's an adjustment that I really do have to get used to that? I have to get used to that. And then on this week, on Tuesday, my 12-year-old Kayla graduated from sixth grade. So next year, she'll be going over to the middle school. She graduated from sixth grade. And I praise God because she got all types of honors and awards. She got a couple of trophies for academics. She received trophies for academics. She received a presidential award. She was the school spelling bee champion for the Scripps National Spelling Bee. She actually went to the semifinals. So I'm just so proud of her. And then today I saw her report card. She actually received, she earned straight A's. And three of those were A pluses. I tell you, God is good and worthy to be praised. And then my son, Marcus, graduated from high school on last night. So we're excited. He was the most improved student in the school, in the whole school, over the four-year period that he was there. This was a boy that was counted out when he was very young. I went to school, I tell you no lie, I got so many calls from the school when he was in grammar school, when he was in elementary school, that, I mean, I just was really, really praying. You know, I did a lot of me time. Like, Father, help me to deal with my son and his behavior. But don't you know that God can do anything but fail? Amen. So God healed Marcus. God delivered him, restored him. God turned his life around, saved him. He saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost. You know, he's 18. He's still a virgin. I mean, to God be the glory. Amen. Amen. So I want to just praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I love you, Lord. I magnify your name. You're worthy, God. You're worthy to be praised. I praise God for what he's done in my life and in the lives of my husband and my children. Amen. For those of you who don't know, we have a blended family. I have two daughters that I have had biologically. My oldest daughter is 32, and my baby, as you have heard, is 12. I had my first child when I was 16 years old, and I have two boys that became my sons when I married my husband. My boys are now 23 and 18. Amen. And I raised them. I raised my sons right here in my own home. And I just thank God, because raising them made me a better woman. Being there for my husband made me a better woman. So tonight, I just give kudos to my husband, Pastor Anthony Simmons, for being the wonderful man that he is. I just thank God for him. Amen. I just thank God for him being a man of integrity. We met in a bar. Now, it's ironic. I am talking about internet dating and marriage tonight. And I want you to tell somebody, call up your friends, email somebody, Facebook somebody, MySpace somebody, text somebody, Twitter somebody, tweet somebody, whatever we're doing, Ning, I don't know, Rise, let them know that I'm on tonight. Pastor Rebecca is on Friday Night Live, and I'm going to be talking about this thing called internet dating and marriage. Is it God? Is God in the concept of internet dating and marriage? Can God bless a relationship that was formed on the internet? You know, we meet so many people in life, and it gets to a point where a single person is bound, a single woman, this is woman to woman, is bound to meet single men on the internet. Now, when that single man, woman of God, begins to show an interest in you and wants to meet you, he may be in your own town or he may be states away. He may be in another state. He may even be in another country. But when that man begins to show an interest in you, do you open yourself up to begin to become romantically involved, platonically romantically involved with someone that you meet on the internet? And platonic just means that there's no intimacy, there's no kissing, there's no sex involved. Amen. You just met somebody. You guys have a lot in common, it seems, and you want to know each other better, but you just happen to meet on the internet. I don't know. Call me up. Call me up at 646-652-4832. I'm going to be opening up the phone lines. Come into the chat room. I know I was a little bit late opening up the chat room, and some of you are already streaming. So if you want, you could just come out and go back in and come into the chat room, or I don't know, I think maybe you can hit start chat, the chat button, and you will be in the chat room and you will be able to ask me questions or to interact with me via the chat. Amen. Again, I know that this is not a normal time for me. I don't know who's out there. I don't know who's awake, but here I am. Amen. I'll be here for an hour. If it gets good, I'll be here for even longer than that. Amen. I have my headset on, so I'm ready to chat with you. Amen. So just come on in, and let's get this party started. So back to what I was saying about my husband. I met my husband in a bar. So being that I met my husband in the bar, and he knew somebody that I knew, so we were not totally strangers. He came over and had our friend, our mutual friend, Quincelle, introduce us. Amen. He saw me. He liked me. My husband saw me. He liked me. He wanted to get to know me. He had a friend of ours come over with him, bring him over to me, and give him a formal introduction. So a lot of you would say, well, Pastor Rebecca, that's different. You met in the bar, but somebody introduced you. You were introduced by a mutual friend. Okay, so what about the people who meet up with each other from mutual friends on Facebook? So see, on my Facebook account, I have a lot of friends that I don't know personally, but they are friends of my friends. Whenever I get a friend request, it tells me on my computer how many mutual friends I have with that person who is requesting to be a friend. And then I look at those mutual friends. I see who those mutual friends are, and the mutual friends are normally very close. People that I know from church, people that I have met here in New Jersey. So the people, if they're their friends, then I guess it's okay for them to be my friend, and I go ahead and I receive them as friends. So I meet a lot of people on Facebook, and here you might realize that I am making a case for internet dating and marriage. I do believe, I'm going to say this and you can quote me, I do believe that God can use the internet to connect people. Now, you might say, well, blasphemy, you know, how can you say that? How can the internet be used as a resource for God to connect people? Isn't God everywhere? You know, God is omnipresent. He is everywhere. He is in your home with you. He is on the job. He is in the bar. He's in the church, hopefully, prayerfully. He's in your church. I know he's in my church. And he's on the internet. He is on the internet. The Bible says, "Where two or more gather in his name, then he is in the midst." Now, a lot of you will say, well, Facebook is not a church, and we're not gathered in his name. But I want to ask the question to the Christians, why are you on Facebook in the first place if it's not for fellowship? And who are you fellowshipping with on Facebook? You know, when you look through your friends list, when I go to my friends page, when I go to the wall of my friends, what I see is a lot of praise and shout out and glory being given to God. So a lot of people that I'm connected to on Facebook are talking about the Lord. So we are gathered in his name. Amen. And there are a lot of single people. I'm telling you, people are not going to bars anymore. People are not going to clubs. They're going to the internet. A lot of people, if the truth were to be told, are not even going to church. They are going to the internet. So I believe that people can be connected via the internet. Now, what about, you might ask, well, what about the scripture that says he who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtain a favor from the Lord? How can a man find a wife on the internet? Or what is a woman to do? Is she really being found if she's hanging out on the internet? Is a woman supposed to be looking for a husband on the internet? Absolutely not. Is a man supposed to be looking for a wife on the internet? Now, I have to say, if he's looking for a wife and he's a member of different social networking sites and he is truly a man of God, why not? Why not look for a wife on the internet? Because you might say, well, why do you say that? I say that because when you go to these social networking sites, there you have an opportunity to learn a whole bunch about people. Listen, people are disclosing more about themselves on Facebook and MySpace and, you know, Rise and Twitter than they are when you meet them face to face. There is a certain transparency that comes with the security of being hidden behind a computer screen. I think that people are being more uninhibited, so to speak, when they go on these social networking sites. Because, look, you don't have to look at that person, so that person does not have to worry about whether their hair is done or whether they have makeup on or whether they have on the right clothes or if they're too fat or too skinny or too tall or too short or too old or too young. You know, that person is free. There's a certain level of liberty that comes with the internet. You know, have you met somebody and corresponded with somebody via the internet, via email or Facebook or Twitter? Now everybody has pictures, but say you met somebody and you corresponded with them and, you know, you didn't see a picture of them. They didn't have a picture. Some people put flowers on for their profile. Some people put a church building. Some people put flyers. Some people put their grandkids. So everybody doesn't really have a picture up there. So basically, you don't even have to know. I'm just saying, you don't even have to know what a person looks like when you're interacting with them on the internet. And it may just be, you might just be a single woman of God, and you're talking to a single man on the internet, and you guys decide that you have a lot in common. You both are divorced. You both have grown children. You both work in the financial field. You both love the Lord, and that should be first. I know I said that later, but really, you both love the Lord. You got to find out first, does he love the Lord? Does he love the Lord? Before you even start looking at him or looking at her, find out if they love the Lord, because you can't be unequally yoked. So you find out that you both have a love for the Lord, you both sing in the choir at your respective churches, or you both preach the gospel, and there's the connection. You were not there looking for love. You were not there looking for a hookup. But all of a sudden, this friend, because I noticed that people post a lot of private stuff on the internet. So you notice that as you are doing your daily posting, letting people know when you're having a hard day. People post when they're having a hard day. People post when the devil's coming against them. People post when people are coming against them. You know, I see a lot of personal stuff posted on the internet. People post, like me, I just posted about my children's graduation. You know, people post praise reports and prayer requests. People post blogs on the internet. And a blog, my God, a blog is like a journal where you're just disclosing personal information about your thoughts and your mindset. And I just want to say that when you're on the internet, when people are on these social networks doing what they do, most of them are not looking for a hookup. You know, women of God listening to me via archive or if you're listening live, you probably will admit that the internet is the last place that you're looking for a husband. You know that there's a potential that you can, you know, that a husband will find you. But most of the time when you're on your page, post about getting your nails and your hair done and posting about how you were blessed in church and, you know, posting your blog, the last thing you're thinking about is some man reading that those posts and looking at you and saying, you know what, I think this woman could be my wife. I mean, I'm just saying, you know, because if we were, I think we would be a lot more closed off when we post on the internet, if we really thought about the fact that somebody might be looking at us and liking us, especially if you're single. Now, I'm married. You know, again, I'm making a case for internet dating because I believe that God can use the internet. I'm making a case for not internet dating, but go ahead and be yourself, you know. What better way to meet somebody than to have to be unpretentious, to be totally transparent, you know, not letting out. I think some of you let out too much information. You know, you don't want to put, I don't even put the town that I live in. You know, I put the town where my church is. So a good thing to do might be to put the town where your church is, because people can find out anything that they want about you on the internet already. So don't disclose too much information. You know, don't give out your phone number on the internet. If somebody has just become your friend and you don't know this person, they came out of nowhere, because there are stalkers on the internet and they come out of nowhere and all of a sudden they're hitting your wall every single day. And I'm picking on Facebook because that's kind of like the most popular one. And everybody's on Facebook. My husband said to me today. He said, everybody is on Facebook. And it's true. Everybody's on Facebook. I'm on Facebook, Pastor Rebecca Simmons. You can look me up and connect with me. So what I'm saying is God can use the internet. Just don't you be out there saying, well, I'm on Facebook and I'm going to find me a husband. And, you know, be very careful about some of the stuff that you post. Leave some, I still say, you know, no matter where you are, leave some mystery about yourself. You know, don't give all of the information away on the internet. Let the man have something to find out about you. And listen, if you're a woman of God, be sure that you're putting forth the image that you want people to see, that you would want even your husband to see. Because I believe, and this is just my belief, I could be wrong, but I believe that there are men who feel more comfortable looking at women on the internet. And I believe that there's some men like Boaz out there, men who are of the church. There are a lot of the cloth. There are a lot of pastors, prophets, apostles, teachers, preachers, evangelists on the internet. They're on these networking sites. And they're there because they're looking for opportunity to spread the gospel. You know, that's what Paul prayed, that there would be an open door so that we would have the opportunity to preach this gospel. You know, if you're a preacher, you know what I'm talking about. I personally am on all of these networking sites because I look for the opportunity to preach this gospel, not necessarily the opportunity to get into someone's pulpit. See, God has given us all a measure of faith and a proportion of grace. You know, God knows what he's doing with us already, so we don't have to try to make a way. Amen. We just have to make sure that we are seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And believe me, woman of God, everything else will be added unto you. So I'm out there looking for that opportunity to preach the gospel just like now. I'm on Blog Talk Radio, doing a radio broadcast after 11 o'clock at night. Do you know that this is an open door? I don't know who's listening to me, but I know that somebody out there is listening. And I know that you're not listening by chance. I know that you're listening because God wants to let you know, woman of God, that he can do whatever he wants to do in your life pertaining to what he has promised you. If you have a desire to be married, God knows how to get your husband to you. I'm just going to say it like that. God knows how to get your husband to you. You just keep seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And keep serving God. Keep using your gifts to serve the Lord. Keep giving to his church financially and with your ability. Keep loving the Lord with all of your heart, your mind, your soul, and your strength, and everything in you, and love your neighbor as yourself. Meditate on God's word day and night. Plant that word in your heart so that you will not sin against the Lord. Let the word be the air that you breathe. You know, eat the word, and, you know, just let that word get on all up in you, like liquid fire shot up in your bones. You know, let God's word become your all in all. You know, let God's word be the lamp unto your feet. I'm telling you, woman of God, whatever you want from God, if you seek first the kingdom of God and put his word first and foremost, first place in your life, I guarantee you success. As a matter of fact, I don't guarantee you success, but God guarantees you success because God says in the book of Joshua, when he told Joshua that Moses was dead, he said, meditate on his word. He said, meditate on his word day and night. You know, let not this word depart from your mouth, and be careful to do all that is contained within the word, which means put the word in action in your life. Don't just be a hearer, don't just be a reader, but be a doer of the word. And Then the Lord told Joshua, then you will make your way successful. Then you will have great success in every single area of your life. I know what I'm talking about. Believe me, this is the key to my success. If you were to ask me what the key to my success is in my marriage, I have been married to the man that I met in the bar all those years ago, the wonderful husband that I have for going on 14 years. Next month, July the 20th, will be 14 years since we got married. We got married in 1996, and this is 2010. So 14 years that I walked down the aisle and married this man, and it has been hard at times, but I'm telling you, I'm telling you, we've had some good days and we've had some bad days, but when I really look at it, I will tell you that my good days, our good days, far outweigh our bad days. And, you know, I won't complain. I will not complain. I have truly been blessed. And again, I met my husband in the bar. So did I go to the bar looking for a husband? No. I did not. I mean, because I wasn't saved. I wasn't looking for a husband. I had a boyfriend who would not commit to me, a boyfriend who wanted to marry me and take me to Africa so that I would be his first wife. I would help him to pick out his concubines. Can you believe that? I would help him to pick out his concubines. I tell you, this is good. This is good, but it is late. And I guess all the women of God are in bed getting that beauty rest, which I should be getting. But, you know, there's just something about me and sleep. If you're up and you want to talk to me about this, you can call 646-652-4832. 646-652-4832. And if you're going to bed, come back tomorrow and listen to the archive. If you're listening to the archive, listen all the way through because there is a word for you. I don't know why you came to listen to this particular broadcast, but I do know that God wants to speak to you. I believe that the Lord wants to speak to you to let you to know that your answer is just a click away. No, you are not to go to your social network from this point forward saying, I'm looking for a husband. But when you put on there, you put that you're single. So men who are going to befriend you are going to know that you're single. Then you go ahead and you put that you're Christian. So a Christian man who's looking for a wife will know that you love the Lord. Then you just go ahead and be you. Let your light shine. Let your light shine on the internet. Don't be phony. Don't be fake. I know. I said it twice. Don't pretend. Don't make believe. Don't wear a mask. Be true to your own self. Dare to be real. I dare you to be who you are. I dare you to be who God created you to be. Listen, I did a broadcast a couple of weeks ago. Why so many single people in the church? Why so many men going to the bar to find a wife? Why so many men dating women who are not saved and bringing them to church and praying and hoping that they get saved? Going and falling into these traps. You know, why? You know, we have to ask that question. It's not because you're not beautiful. It's not because you're not wonderful. It's not because you're not intelligent and anointed. It's not because you don't have it going on. You know, that can't be the reason because there are so many beautiful women in the church. What I believe, and I probably didn't say this when I did that broadcast, but I believe that we forget how to be women. I think we forget how to be women. Let's see. Let me say it like this. For those of you who grew up in church, you might never have known how to be, you know, feminine, how to be sweet, how to flirt, you know, how to laugh at jokes, you know, that sometimes may not be funny. how to pay attention to a man and make him feel like he's on the top of the world. There is a key to success, even in dating. You know, because sometimes we get so spiritual, and look, I'm the most spiritual person I know. I tell you, I need the word. I need the Lord. I am so spiritual, but I think we get so spiritual sometimes that we forget to be women. Now, God made man to be hard and tough and rough. God made a man, he's not that feeling, he doesn't have that many emotions. He's more analytical. He's very few short on words. He doesn't need a whole lot of words. God made man to have an eagle, you know, to have an eagle, to be respected, because if you find out what a man needs to be respected. Well, if you find out what a woman needs to be loved. So even in the spiritual realm, a lot of people say, well, there's neither male nor female. But when it comes to dating, when it comes to marriage, sometimes we can take that a little bit too far, because God made us different. We are male and female when it comes to the natural, and it is through the natural that we become attracted to each other in some ways. Like, in other words, you may be a woman who likes a man to be tall, dark, and handsome. You might like him to be bald, or you might like him to have a lot of hair. You might like him to have coarse hair, or you might like him to have straight hair. You might like him to be you might even like a lighter skinned man. Amen. A man of European ethnicity. Amen. So there are different strokes for different folks, and we all have different tastes when it comes to what is appealing to the eye. You know, come on. You can still, I know you're spiritual, but you're still a woman. I know that you can still look at a man, a fine man, and say, he is fine. That man is a good-looking man. I mean, a lot of us could still look at a Denzel Washington, or I guess a Tom Cruise, and say that they are good-looking men, that they are fine, handsome, good-looking men, or a hunk, or whatever you want to call him. But the thing about it, if the truth were to be told, come on, you know when you see a man that's appealing to your eye. Amen. He might be muscular, or he might be slim and fit, but you know what you like when you see it, just like Potiphar's wife. Now, I know she was a little hoochie, but she saw Joseph, and she said, wow, I want him, my husband, maybe her husband wasn't doing what he was supposed to be doing, maybe he was sleeping on the job, but she knew what she liked. Now, we're not Potiphar's wife, we're women of God, but still, we're not dead. God did, we died to the flesh, but God did not take away our ability to appreciate a fine man. I'm just going to say it like that. Okay, so with that said, another thing is, if he's attractive and you think he's attractive and he's single and you're single, what's wrong with, when he comes over to you and tries to make you laugh, what's wrong with laughing and being a little flirtatious? What's wrong with that? And then another thing we do, we put this look on our faces like we've been sucking lemons all day, and we got this deep, serious look on our faces. But God didn't make us to be like that. He made us to be soft and beautiful. And he gave us beautiful, beautiful smiles, and he made our faces, a woman's face is a work of art. So, why not smile more? I'm just saying, Why not show those beautiful teeth? Why not show that beautiful smile, Lord? Let the sun shine through your smile. Amen. This is basically some tips for interacting, not dating, but tips for interacting with the singles in your church. If you are a single woman, I'm going to say this. They might throw tomatoes at me. They might throw onions at me. One thing that I just praise God about, praise God for about myself is that I'm real. Okay? So let's keep it real. I'm going to say, I believe that whether it's in church, whether you're in a classroom somewhere, if you are in a corporate meeting in this inter offices, it's maybe not your personal office, but somebody who works with your company or provides a service for your company, whether you're in church, whether you're going to a PTA meeting, a Parents and Teachers Association meeting, whether you're in a supermarket, I believe, even when you're sitting down having dinner with yourself, I believe that it is okay if you are single. If you are single, I believe that it's okay to flirt. It's okay to laugh. It's okay to make eye contact and then turn away. You know, don't stare the brother down. Don't have this hungry look in your eyes like I'm desperate. But to make eye contact, to smile, and to turn away. If he's single, and if he's interested, he will come over, and he will start a conversation with you. Now, if the brother comes over to you, and you're sitting in the restaurant having dinner with yourself, and he's there with a couple of his friends having a business meeting, and you just happen to catch his eye, and he comes over and says, I couldn't help but notice, but when you smiled, it lit up the room. And I was just wondering why a beautiful young lady like yourself or a beautiful woman like yourself is sitting here alone having dinner. And I just wanted to, you know, come over and meet you. What's your name? Come on now. Don't speak in tongues. That is not the moment to speak in tongues. You could do that when you go home and close your door and realize that he has just, you have just met a very available, very nice Christian man, you know, and what you can say to him is, I am not having dinner alone, but I'm having dinner with myself. I happen to enjoy my own company and wanted to have a nice dinner, so I came out, and my name is so-and-so. And you can do that, and you can have a smile on your face. It's a public place, you know. I doubt if he's going to, if a serial murderer is going to murder you in a public place. And then he may ask for your phone number. He might ask for your number. That's going to be up to you whether or not you give him your number. You might, excuse me, you might say to him, well, I don't know you. I don't make a habit out of giving my number to strangers. So then he might say, well, let me give you my number. And he might give you a business card, or he might give you a cell phone number, or, I mean, everybody has cell phones now. He might give you a cell phone number. So now you take his cell phone number. And a lot of women say, well, I don't want to be calling no man. Well, good. You don't call him. You go to your brother in Christ, or you go to your mentor, your female mentor, you tell them that this man approached me in the supermarket, in the restaurant. I was out with friends. I was having dinner with myself, and he gave me his number. What do? I would like to get to know him. Then you go ahead and you have that person call him while you're there and screen him. I'm a friend of such and such. You met my friend in the restaurant. I'm just calling to find out a little bit more about you, you know. And then it's time to, and even when he gives you the number, let him know that I'm a Christian. I'm a woman of God, and you know, I make it a habit not to go out with men who are not who don't love the Lord. So if he doesn't love the Lord, believe me, he will leave you alone. He might fake the funk, but most chances he'll say, well, she's a little weird to me. She's a little too weird for me. She's a little too deep. And he'll leave you alone. You'll be like, no, well, I'm not a Christian. Or you'll be able to smell the liquor on his breath or smell the cigarettes on his breath, and then you will know he is not the one. But when you put it out there out front and let the person know that you're Christian, and then when your friends screen him, when your friends call him, or when you have him meet you in another public place, maybe Starbucks, I don't know, maybe for coffee or something, or maybe church, then, you know, he won't be surprised that you are coming with accountability partners. I say always, when you're meeting someone, always have accountability partners. Amen. Well, I only have 12 minutes left. I invite you to call me up if you have a question. If you want prayer, you can call 646-652-4832. If you like what I'm saying or you don't like what I'm saying, I am open. I am open to suggestions. Now, in this last few minutes, I want to talk about internet dating and marriage. You already know that I do approve. I do believe that God can use the internet. I believe that he can use the internet just like he can use a donkey to talk to a prophet, just like he can use a whale to swallow a prophet, a preacher. I believe that God can use the internet to connect people. I have met me and my husband. I'm on the internet. My husband doesn't spend a lot of time on the internet, but I have met Pastor Larry Sarton, who is a phenomenal preacher in Chicago at Christian Family Faith Center. He and his wife, Lady Carol, they have a broadcast here every Wednesday, Central Time, at 5 o'clock Central Time. And it's blogtalkradio.com/Pastor-Larry-Sartin, S-A-R-T-I-N, Moments in the Word. Phenomenal broadcast. I met our very own apostle, Matthew Tillery, and his wife, Pastor Dawn Tillery from Tri-Faith Ministries down in Rocky Mount, North Carolina. If you're looking for a church in the Rocky Mount, North Carolina area, they're over at 610 Glendale, and their website is trifaithministries.org. I met them on the internet. I met Gazelle Simmons, who is transcribing my book that my husband and I are doing on marriage. I met her on a networking social network on Rise. I met so many people. I have met so many people on the internet. So many people. It's just great people. I have a whole network of women on Rise, Christian Women of Power, where we just get together and we sharpen each other. Iron sharpens iron. So is the internet good for meeting people? Absolutely. I've met Apostle Hill, L.A. Hill from Chicago. I preached on his broadcast right here on Blog Talk Radio, and I've met Pastor Amica and so many great, 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 great women and men of God on the internet. Connections, divine connections. So yes, 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 God can make a divine connection on the internet. Amen. He can. Yeah. But you can't be out there looking for a husband. A woman of God, the Bible tells us that he who finds a wife finds a good thing. Even Boaz, even though Ruth asked Boaz to marry her, and I've made that point before, Boaz found Ruth. He found Ruth working in his field. Ruth didn't go there to the field looking for a husband. Ruth went to the field to get food, to get to work, to get food and money so that she could provide for her and her mother-in-law because her husband had died. So, you know, The internet is good. What the devil meant for evil, God has turned it around for his good. Some precautions. When I don't approve of internet dating is when the people trying to date are already married. If you're married, if you're already married, you don't have no business. You have no business on the internet looking for a hookup. And if you, listen, women of God, I'm going to say this. If you meet a man and he's married and he starts flirting with you, if he starts hitting you up and instant messaging you and chatting with you, chatting you up, put some boundaries around that thing. Where is his wife? It's 12 o'clock at night. You're playing Bejeweled and he sends you an instant message. I am. What does he want? He's married. You're married. Forget about it. Don't even accept it. Don't even respond. Oh, my wife doesn't understand me. She doesn't know how to treat me. I'm so lonely. If only I had a woman like you. You know what? Crap. You know, that is just unacceptable. Forget about it. You know, just forget about it. Don't bother. If he's still married and he's trying to hit on you and he's trying to flirt with you, then look. He's going to do the same thing to you. He can't be trusted. He's a snake in the grass. Yes, he is. He is a snake in the grass. He has no respect for marriage, and he's not a man of God, because a true man of God would not be out there in the midnight hour trying to flirt with women while his wife is in bed. Amen. So put some boundaries around that thing. Every connection that I made, and I have a caller. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. In this last 4 minutes, I have a caller. Welcome to Woman to Woman. You're on the air.
Hello?
Hello. God bless you.
Hi, Pastor Rebecca. How you doing?
I'm good. I'm good. I'm up late. I did a late broadcast today. I have 3 minutes. Who am I speaking with?
This is LaWanda from Jersey.
Hi, hi, Woman of God.
How you doing?
I'm doing good. I couldn't come on tomorrow, so I had to come on tonight. And
well,
I kept calling, and
it was like I was too early. And then I got to talking to somebody else, and I almost missed the show. I was like, I'm going to have to go listen to the archives.
Oh, now you were calling tonight?
Yeah, but I was calling too early. You haven't came
okay.
on yet.
Okay.
You know I've been waiting for this subject.
I know, and I'm going to give you some time to talk about it. What do you think about this internet dating? Can God use the internet?
I've seen an issue like that, and I've seen two issues. One turned out, I've seen the person, it was horrible for them, and then the other issue I saw, it was like, it was a straight Jezebel in the whole incident. But the person was a friend of mine, and they really couldn't see it. So as I gave them, you know, a warning about it, they turned on me.
Okay.
So I let it be. Because you have to know when it's flesh and when it's spirit. If a person is looking for somebody instead of waiting on God to send them, their flesh is already in active mode in the first place.
Yeah.
And when that person comes and speaking the sweet good nothings in their ear, the flesh is only that listening. So that's the only thing they're going to, you know, adhere to is that flesh. So I think God can use anything, but I really don't think that this internet thing, I don't think it's of God. I really, really don't. Some people it may work for, and God bless them in their marriages and relationships. But some people, I think they're using it just to get a booty call. Excuse my French, but it's the truth.
It's the truth.
Well, see, that's the problem. And then, you know, let's talk about this thing. You know, we're talking about internet dating and marriage. Now, you know, I put it that way on my page because I believe that dating should always end in marriage. You know, if you're going to be dating somebody, you're not going to be dating somebody that you don't think you want to be married to, because you're right, that's just another opportunity for a booty call, you know. Mm-hmm. And as Christians, you know, I mean, we really have to reconsider this whole thing about, you know, this really fruity, tooty, booty, really hooty call. You know, what is that? You know, if I'm a Christian, see, like you said, my flesh, you know, I have to get to the point where until I get my flesh under control, maybe I don't need to be dating.
That's right.
You know, because the thing about it is, if we were not, I don't know about you, but I wasn't saved forever. You know, I wasn't saved. I wasn't a virgin. You know, and a lot of us, we women, we're not virgins. When we come into the kingdom, when we become Christians.
Right.
So I think that the thing to do, and God knows, believe me, God knows, the thing to do is to keep yourself even out of the dating scene until God sanctifies you.
That's right. You're telling them the truth.
Yeah, yeah. Because it's easy to say don't have sex.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing that we need to be saying is allow God to sanctify you. You know, allow God to
flesh under.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. Because if not, then we ain't got to worry about the internet. It's wherever you meet him. I don't know if you were listening, but I was talking about meeting people in the supermarket, at a restaurant, at a corporate meeting, not necessarily your office, but maybe inter-offices, other offices, at church. So if that flesh is not put under, then what's going to happen is it doesn't matter where you meet them, you're going to end up in bed.
That's right.
So I believe that the problem that your friends or the people that you're talking about were having was not necessarily that they met the person on the internet, but they just happened to meet somebody who was lurking, the devil is lurking, who was looking for a desperate woman in the church, you know, which they think we're all desperate and the devil is a liar.
It was just like the whole thing. And it's like the Bible tells us warning comes before destruction. Now, somebody's definitely giving you true warning. And, I mean, the evidence was there. I mean, come on. But the person, I mean, like I said, once that flesh done, you know, grows up, it ain't nothing you can say or do. They're going to do what they want to do.
Yeah.
It's sad. It's sad, you know. Once I've called you friend, I mean, I love you like blood. But
yes.
It's like if you, you know, don't want to take heed, the Bible tells me to shake the dust from my feet and keep moving.
Yes, exactly.
You know? So I have to do what the word tells me to do. I mean, I love you. But now I have to love you from a distance.
Yes, exactly. And you know, for the listeners out there who are listening and who are listening to the archives even, what our sister is saying is so true. If we are not healed, if we are still looking for love in all the wrong places, if we feel like we need a man to validate us, then that makes us vulnerable. You know, we have to love the Lord. Like I was saying earlier in the broadcast, you have to love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, your soul, and your strength. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness.
Right.
And if you truly have a desire to be married, listen, there's nothing wrong with having a desire to be married, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and God will send you your husband in due season.
That's right.
When you're married, when you're ready, and the important thing is for you to develop that relationship with God so that you have an ear to hear what thus says the Lord, so that you will hear the Lord's voice when he says he's the one or he's not the one. You know, whether he's sending you friends, godly friends, and there's safety in the multitude of counselors.
Right.
So if you have a friend, someone that you call a friend, and they're telling you, listen, he's just trying to get some, you know, he's just trying to get in your underwear, then, you know, there has to be a reason that that person is saying it. And if more than one person tells you, everybody can't be jealous. Everybody can't be hating.
That's right. And that's where they get brainwashed. Oh, they're just, you know, they're jealous of our relationship. Child, please, go somewhere, baby, bye. It ain't even like that. It ain't even like that. I have, you know, a desire not to see my friend hurt. But
yes,
if my friend want to be foolish, then, you know, you got to learn from experience. Let your heart be pricked enough for you to know you are foolish and you listening to your flesh.
Yes.
You know? It's sad,
so,
but it's horrible.
So, now, this was two different friends? Or
two different. One person I knew was a guy. He met a lady on the internet, went to where she lived, married her and everything, and the lady took everything he had and left him.
Wow.
And the other person I knew was a guy. This person, ooh, child, Lord have mercy, the woman came in bringing division and stuff, and it made it seem like I was a troublemaker. And I'm like, what is the, I didn't even know this woman from Adam's apple.
Uh-huh.
She came in bringing division. She already had a jealous spirit because me and him was friends. I mean, he was just like a part of the family. And she made accusations and caused problems, but never told the man that, you know, I was talking to her. I was, you know, friends with her. She told him I couldn't stand her and all type of mess. And I'm like, are you seeing this? She even went as to go and saying that everybody wanted him, and then she finally told him she wanted him. Next thing I knew, they're talking about marriage. They hadn't even known each other that long. I'm like, are you serious? So whenever I told him the truth about, you know, this is nothing but a scheme to get married, you know, he told me off.
Wow.
He told me off. So I said, you know what? I love you, but I got to love you from a distance because I know I ain't crazy and I know I ain't starting no trouble. I'm just showing you and telling you what I see. I'm telling you what I see. And what I see, it don't look good for you.
Wow.
It don't look good for you.
So he couldn't receive that.
No. And the Lord gave me a dream and I told him. And he told me, that ain't for me. He blacked out on me, Pastor. He blacked out on me. And I was like, oh, my goodness.
Well, did he marry her?
Well, I heard that he did.
Okay.
I heard that he did. I haven't spoken to him in a minute.
Okay.
Our friendship was ended.
Wow. Now you didn't like him like that.
No. That was my heart. He was my true friend, and you know, that's like I just met you. Let's say me and you been friends for like 20 years.
Uh-huh.
If you wasn't married, and you know, I see this guy, he's coming around you and stuff, and I see his spirit don't mean you no good. I'm going to just come to you and say, Rebecca, you know, I'm not seeing godly in him. And you start blacking out all the while, you know, you're just jealous and blah, blah, blah. I'm going to say to you, just look again. And if you ain't looking with a spiritual eye, you ain't going to see but what you want to see.
Right.
So I'm going to tell you straight out how I feel about it. But if you decide to move on with it, I mean, it's nothing I could do. What I'm supposed to do, run down the aisle and say, no, Rebecca, no.
Right. I mean, because you're going on discernment, you know, because, I mean, if it's discernment, now, if you saw something, That's one thing. But if you just suspect something,
yes,
then that's another.
Yeah, and I saw something, and I said it to him, and he went off on me.
You told him, no. Did you tell him that you had been talking to the lady,
yeah,
that she was lying to him?
Oh, yeah. That's when
you
he went
told
off
him.
On me.
I
told him that before I told him what I saw in the dream. I told him everything because he accused me of not liking her, and that was totally not true. If I don't like somebody, I don't deal with them. I don't talk to them. I keep them at a distance, arm's length. You know, I'm not going to waste my time if I don't like you. But we have been talking, I mean, on the phone till like 3, 4 o'clock in the morning, you know?
Who you and?
And the lady.
And the lady.
And
okay.
She was telling him that I couldn't stand her guts, and that wasn't true.
Wow.
And I told him, I was like, look, you know me. If I don't like somebody, I'm not going to waste my time on them.
That's what you told him.
Yeah, and I said, I've been talking to her. I said, me and her been talking for hours. You know, we spent, you know, all this time on the computer and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, he just really flipped.
Right.
Oh, you know, he just went off on me. And I'm like, you know what? I'm going to leave you over there because you is gone.
Right. And, you know, and it's just ironic that, and we're not streaming, I had tried to extend the broadcast so everybody will have to be listening to the archive on this as we continue with the conversation regarding internet dating and marriage. It's ironic that both of these incidences were men.
Yeah.
And that they met women, and they met these women on the internet. And
mm-hmm.
hooked up with the women. One of them, you said, took the man for everything that he had.
Yeah.
And the other one was a Jezebel, obviously,
mm-hmm.
someone who didn't have any good intentions in mind for this particular brother. Now, but it's ironic that here you have two men, and they were
mm-hmm.
obviously looking for committed relationships. Now, when they were on the internet, were they looking for these women? Or did this just happen, that they met these women on these?
Now, the first one, I don't know whether he was just on there looking, you know, for, because it's like one day he just was here, and then next minute he just quit his job and just was out. He just left. And
was he looking for a wife?
That I know of, no.
Okay.
No, that I know of, no. But the second one, he had just got out of a relationship. And, you know, he said that that one was the one who the Lord had said was his wife.
Mm-hmm.
I never met her, but, you know, he was telling me about her and everything like that. And I said, well, you know what, just wait, and, you know, God will restore it. So after he, you know, told me the story of how everything happened, I was like, wait a minute, something don't sound right, because ain't nobody just going to jump up and dump and hate you like the way you're telling me she hates you. So
right.
Then as he just told me the story, you know, he finally told me the truth. And so then all of a sudden, oh, God released me from that one, and now it's all about this one.
Okay.
And
so
I'm
the
like,
truth was that he knew he had started a relationship with this other woman on the internet.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And that's what I was talking about, the boundaries. You know, if you are a single woman, and I'm talking to the listeners out there, if you are a single woman and the man is married or he's in a relationship already,
mm-hmm.
and he comes to you and starts trying to push up on you, trying to get to know you better or chatting you up in the middle of the night, then you need to shut him down. There have to be boundaries, especially with married men. I know married men now who are on the internet developing relationships with women, and that is not God. You know, I was talking about all of the great men. I met my Apostle Matthew Tillery. I met him on the internet. I interviewed
mm-hmm.
him on this very same broadcast. But when
right.
we decided that we had a connection, a divine connection, then we brought in my husband and his wife.
Right.
You know, because we have to have boundaries. And so now, even years later, my husband is his primary contact. His wife is my primary contact. We have developed our relationship that way. Even though he is my spiritual dad, if I need him on the issue where I need to be mentor or counsel, I will call him directly. But just for small talk, no, no, I will call his wife.
You know, my personal opinion, I feel that marriage, married people shouldn't be on the internet. And if they are going to be on the internet, it should be a joint page, not my husband got his own page and the wife got her own page. No, if y'all going to be on the internet, let it be a married husband and wife page, because then nobody ain't going to get, you know, slick and be trying to talk slick to you and know your husband got the password and he's reading it, or the wife, vice versa, you know. But when people got their own separate page, you opening the door for the enemy to start saying stuff that your husband or your wife ain't saying.
Yeah, I have to put the accountability back on the man. We're talking about Christians here.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to put the accountability right back on the man of God, the woman of God. You got to go to work. You can't say, I got to work with my husband and I got to work with my wife. You have email.
Mm-hmm.
Before there was Facebook. We had email accounts. You have a cell phone. You have your own personal cell phone. Your wife will have hers. You will have yours. So we have to realize that there's one thing in marriage, and it's called the trust factor. There's another thing in marriage called accountability, and there's another thing called boundaries. You know, any married man knows, without being a Christian, you don't go around giving women your phone number.
You don't.
You know, any married woman, I don't have men calling me up just out of the blue just to talk.
Mm-hmm.
You know, being a pastor is different because we have fellowships, but even being a pastor, I went to a meeting when I first became a pastor. It was a meeting for women, for female ministers.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that the person was saying when she was teaching was, and after you slept with him, and you will sleep with him, then you make sure you pray for him as well as praying for yourself. And I'm sitting there like, what did she just say? Because what's happening is we have too much flexibility in this state. Listen, you're not going to sleep with nobody because you need boundaries. That's what I'm saying. When you travel and you go to preach, listen, don't come pick me up. If you're a man, send your wife to pick me up. Send a female armor bearer, a pastoral care assistant. If you have to come, come with, I don't want two men picking me up either. So, you know, you have to, because we are still very much alive. Well, as much as we want to say dead, we have to kill this flesh daily, right? We got to kill this flesh daily, because this flesh jumps up daily. Just when you open your eyes in the morning, your flesh jumping up. And we have to kill this flesh daily. The devil knows what you like, Luanda. The devil knows how you like it. He knows who you know, what will be pleasing to your eyes. He knows what you want to hear. And if you don't have boundaries, you can say, I'm friends, we're friends, we respect each other. I know he's married, I'm single, but, you know, prayerfully his wife will understand. No. You're out of order. If you're in a relationship with a married man where you could be on the phone with him all times of the night, or texting him back and forth, or Twittering and Facebooking him back and forth, and it's just you and him, listen, draw the line. Women of God, you draw the line and say, I'm just not going to enter into that. That's forbidden territory. A married man can be just as attractive as a single man. I know some very attractive. Listen to me. I'm telling you, I have always been honest with my listeners. I know some very attractive married men. They didn't stop being attractive just because they were married. As a matter of fact, married men are even more attractive to a lot of these women out here.
Mm-hmm. And they don't care that he's married.
And they don't care. Yeah, and this whole thing about
son, when he gives them his time, that shows that he don't care.
That's right. Well, somebody has to care. Somebody has to have a reverence for God to say, you know what?
Right.
I'm not doing it. I love, like Joseph said, when Potiphar's wife said, honey, let me break me off a piece of that. You know, you sure looking good. Let me take off your shirt. Let me take off your clothes. You know, Joseph said, oh, no, I'm not going to sin against your husband. And my God, I'm not getting ready to sin against my God. When reverence God enough, forget the other person, forget your wife. But when I reverence God enough to say, for even my husband, I mean, as much as I love my husband, it's not my husband that stops me from cheating. It's my God that stops me from cheating.
That's right.
You know, when I could love God enough to say, you know what, them true compliments don't mean enough to me. I know that man has married me. I know he's married. He just sent me a private message. It was a little too complimentary for me. And even if it wasn't complimentary, you know what? I feel funny. Just reading it flatters me. My flesh is flattered. You know what? I'm not about to return that call, and I'm not sending a text, and I'm not sending a message. You know? It's like, come on. I got to know. We have to know as women of God. I'm talking to women of God. I'm not talking to everybody. Some people can't receive this. But we have to know as women of God where the limits are and where to draw the line. You know, everything can't be a circle where I'm including everything in my circle, but there has to be a line of demarcation drawn to say, I will not cross this line.
That's right.
And it's hard. It's hard because there are a lot of married men out there who are just really, really too close for comfort. They are too close for comfort. They are too close for comfort. They don't think they can fall. But that's why you have all of these mega preachers right in front of our eyes falling into sexual sin.
Yep.
And they're playing with home. They're playing with adultery. They're playing with homosexuality. You know, they're playing with idolatry. Oh, you're so great. Oh, you're the best. Oh, Pastor. Oh, you're so fabulous. Oh, I love the way you preach that. Say, oh, Pastor, you just preach that idolatry.
I call that Pastor Legion. That's Pastor Legion. That's not religion. It's Pastor Legion.
You might as well stroke his muscles, girl. You might as well just Pastor. You might as well rub his arm. Oh, and some of them do reach out and rub his arm. You know, that'll tell the woman quick.
What about the first lady? First lady who? They don't care about first lady.
They don't care. And she suffers. If you love God, cherish your first lady. If you love God, honor that woman and stay away from her husband.
The word tells us to do the man to do so. But you see, if he ain't got reverence for his wife, what you think he has reverence for the church? Not too much.
That's right. That's the time to run. That's the time to say, you know what? I'm changing churches. And I hate to say that because I don't tell people to leave their church. But listen, if your pastor's a dog, and I'm laughing because I know women, I know people don't like me to say this, but I know I have a certain call on my life. And it's the call of the prophet. If your pastor's a dog, God is not with that man of God. He's not in that church. He might be, some people might be carrying the Lord in there, but it comes down Aaron's beard. You know, it's time for you to look for another church. You know, not you, because I know your pastor's a man of God. I know Pastor Flag. You know, I know your pastor.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know he's a man of God,
and
so I'm not talking to you.
He'll tell you in a minute, I don't go nowhere without my wife. And
that's right.
You don't go nowhere but out.
Making house calls. How are you going to make a house call? And forget about it. Stop calling your pastor or calling the minister or the deacon asking them to come over and pray for you. Women, I mean, come on. And then you show up at the door, you got on a house coat and a little negligee. Come on. Come on now.
I feel faint.
Yeah. we need to stop it. You know, women, and then we want to talk about the pastor when he does fall, but he has to have boundaries. He
mm-hmm.
has to know, I'll send my wife. You need prayer? I'll send my wife. Better
yet,
let me put on the phone right now.
That's right. That's what the missionary team for. You don't need to call your pastor. There's office, there's people in the church. All right, you need prayer? Okay, here's Sister So-and-so and the whole missionary platoon coming in your house. If you need prayer at 9:30 at night, and if you need extra, I'll send the usher boy. They'll be there too. You need more prayer? Okay, I'll send my co-pastor, which is my wife.
My God, my God. That's it. You guys.
I'm serious. I mean, I don't want to hurt their feelings. Yeah, but they want to hurt your marriage, though, and you're going to let them if you keep falling for the okie doke. We can't be
that's
falling
right.
for the okie doke.
You're speaking. That's right. And there's two, there's no accountability because we have independent, a lot of independent churches, and we're independent. You know, we were for many years independent. We have a spiritual covering now. But when we first came out, it was me and my husband. We had accountability to God. But you got to have accountability partners. You got to be accountability. You got to be covered. You need I say it now because it was hard out there without a covering. You need a covering. I wouldn't advise anybody to jump out there without a covering because you got to be accountable. Thank God my husband is a man of God. But it was only the grace of God because he could have fallen. I could have fallen because we were just, you know. But thank God. And a lot of these independent churches are not accountable to anybody. And the pastor won't listen. You know, he won't listen, and that's why he falls.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm just saying, and I'm as we close this out, because you and I just love the chemistry here. I just love the chemistry.
You can call me anytime.
I
tell
you. Amen. And this is good listening, too. I'm going to put your number down. As a matter of fact,
I was waiting for you to do this type of segment, and I kept calling, and I was calling too early. It was like call back an hour. Call back an hour and 30 minutes. I was like, oh, man. And then I started getting on the phone talking to somebody else. And I was like, oh, my God, this segment. How is this segment?
Yeah, and I talked for almost an hour. You came in on the last 5 minutes. But I'm glad that you did because I endorse. I believe that God can use the Internet. I believe, and I said it earlier, I don't believe you should be out there on the Internet looking for a relationship.
No. If
if you're a woman, even if you're a man,
if you're a man
looking for a wife, this is what I'm going to say. That's why I asked you about your friends when they're looking for a wife. If you're a man looking for a wife, I believe it's okay to observe someone from a distance on a social network because your wife might just be on one of those social networks. But I don't believe that you should fall for every bait, every time you should bite. For every bait that's sent out there. I know too many men who have a Christian men. Listen, don't be a fool. Just because you're a Christian does not mean that you check your brain at the church door and that you leave it in church when you leave the church. Come on.
Uh-huh.
God gave us a sound mind. Listen, the spirit of wisdom rests upon Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ lives on the inside of each and every believer. So we have the spirit of wisdom. And that's why I'm saying we don't have to, you said it, okie doke. We don't have to fall. I like that word. That's one of my words.
Okie doke.
That's one of my words. That booty call, you said, excuse the French, that's one of my words too, because that's what it is. When you get that call at 12 o'clock.
They don't like to hear you speak like that. But it's the truth, and the truth will cut you. And if it's cutting you, that means that poison is getting out of you. You have to understand, when you start entertaining certain things, you're entertaining things of the flesh, and the things of the flesh is poison. And the ways of the, you know, the ways of sin is death.
Yes.
You know, and we have to understand that. You know, I know the Lord is going to send my husband. I don't have to go running around looking for, I know he's coming.
That's right. And he might just, he might just be on a social network. You know, but like I'm saying, you're not out there looking for him. And when he comes, see, God says, my sheep know my voice.
That's right.
See, and that's the thing. And they will not hear, they will not listen to the voice of another. They won't listen. When your husband comes, whether he comes at the job, at the church, or in line behind you at the supermarket,
right,
come on,
right.
On Facebook, wherever he comes from, you will know, because God will tell you that that is your husband. Amen.
Right.
I believe that God, that's why I asked you, did you like your friend like that? Because I believe that God right now is using friendships. He's allowing us to develop friendships, and those friendships can develop into relationships that lead to marriage. I mean, what better person to marry than your friend?
Exactly. That's the way marriage, as I grew up, I thought it always has to start out as a friendship. When you date, that's a friendship. You have to be some type of, I mean, how you just gone, oh, I love you. You met me on Monday. Thursday, I love you. Let's get married on Saturday. Huh? That don't work. There has to
right.
be some type of friendship.
Yes.
I mean, to say, okay, why are you marrying this woman? Why are you marrying
that's right.
this man? Oh, not because of his status in the church, or not because of her status in the church, or not because they know people of protocol, but because there is something about that person's spirit that
yes.
God has drawn me to him, and God has drawn me to her, and our spirits, when we're in the same room, is like fireworks. But it's like this microwave stuff. I love him. I love her. And then the next minute, statistics give them 5 years to stay married, and they always make statistics right. So that's why I said we have to marry for the true reasons and not of the reasons of the flesh. Because
yes.
flesh is temporary.
Yes,
it doesn't
exactly.
last.
Exactly. And we're going to have to continue this, because that's good. That's exactly right. Why would anybody get up and move from one state to another?
Exactly.
And, right. And you don't know that person. And, and you're not getting married. You're just going to live where? In their house or close to them. And, you know, the thing about it is that's flesh. You're right.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm going to marry you, if listen, woman of God, if you meet a man on the internet, and he says, oh, I know you're my wife, because I've heard these stories. The Lord showed me you're my wife.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard them. The Lord showed me you're my wife. And you've been talking to him, so he knows you love the Lord. He tells you he loves the Lord. The thing that he's going to do, if the Lord told him that you're his wife, and he lives in Arizona and you live in New Jersey, he will make sure that he makes several trips to New Jersey. Listen, you don't be hightailing yourself over to Arizona.
Exactly. That's my point.
Let the man come to you, and don't move to Arizona. Don't meet somewhere in between. Let him come to New Jersey and stay, put himself in a hotel.
That's
and
right.
stay in a hotel, and you meet him in a public place. Don't take him to your house. Don't give him your address. I'm telling you. Meet
That's
him in a public place with some friends.
That's right.
Let your friends give him the once over. Let your friends screen him. See how
That's
he feels
right.
around you. If he is a true man of God,
That's
he will
right.
appreciate this screening process.
That's
he will
right.
not
and get, won't
upset,
get offended. That's
and he
right.
won't be offended if you
That's
screen
right.
him. You better screen him. You mm-hmm. better screen him, or you're going to find yourself hanging from the chandelier somewhere and wonder what just happened. You know,
mm-hmm.
why you have given yourself to this stranger, and
mm-hmm.
now you are caught up in the flesh because the sex was good, and now
mm-hmm.
you want to see him twice. Now you're going to Arizona, he coming to New Jersey, y'all meeting in Georgia and North Carolina,
mm-hmm.
you're going to Florida on vacation, and
mm-hmm.
it's a year and a half later, now you're not even thinking about marriage, but you're living in sin, you're living in fornication.
Yeah.
And yeah, and now your relationship with God is growing cold, because that's the tactic of the devil, to pull you away from the things of God. Like my sister Lawanda said, the end of sin is death.
That's right.
So guard yourself. Guard yourself.
That's
yes,
right.
love can be found on the internet. I have a friend. I was with her last week, and she married. She will be celebrating 1 year of
yeah.
marriage with her husband, whom she met on the internet. She met
mm.
him on the internet. on a dating website. Now, I didn't say
what?
I endorsed dating. I didn't say I endorsed dating websites. I'm just telling her story. He is ideal for her. They were both celibate for years. She had been 10 years celibate. 10 years. 10
wow.
years celibate. And he had been 3 years celibate. He had lost his wife and his son in a tragic accident, and he was looking for a wife. They saw each other's profile. They decided not to see other people. They were going to get to know each other. They got to know each other by phone. Then they went to a public place for dinner with friends, with his friends and hers, got to know each other some more. They met at a wedding in Philadelphia, one of his friends' weddings, got to know each other some more, slept in separate rooms, stayed celibate, did not even kiss until they got married. They dated for 1 year. They got to know each other for 1 year. They spent time alone. They did get to the point where they were spending time alone. These are mature saints, though. These
uh-huh.
are Christians who have been in this thing for a while.
Uh-huh.
They stayed celibate. She had been celibate for 10 years. They stayed celibate. They did not kiss each other. They kissed each other on the cheek. They didn't swap spit. No tonguing. No tongue kissing. You
my
know,
Lord.
Dangerous. That's a dangerous thing. Don't be sticking your tongue. You single, don't be sticking your tongue. Don't nobody stick their tongue now.
You
your
don't know what
throat.
That is. Then.
Yeah, period. I mean, and tongue, that's too close for comfort.
Mm-hmm.
So they did not even kiss until the reverend, the preacher, pronounced them husband and wife. They had no physical intimacy until their honeymoon. And they had been married a year. Yeah, were things rough? Because they had to get to know each other like that? Absolutely. You know,
right.
But as we grow in our love for each other, then our intimacy broadens and we grow in our compatibility in that area. A lot of people say, well, I want to try it before I buy it. No,
yes,
that's the world.
That's the world.
That's the world. So my friend did it right. You know, I mean, I wouldn't have recommended that she go to where she went to meet him, but it was better than a bar where I met my husband. You know, I was drinking when I met my husband. So what I'm saying is, and with my husband and I will be married 14 years.
Wow, congratulations.
Thank you, next month. So God can do it. Listen, let me just say it like this. All I can say is what God has for you is for you, you know, and who God has for you is for you. And we don't have to be out there trying to find it and trying to make stuff happen. And, you know, I need to do something for the brothers to tell the brothers to stop being crazy. Stop
mm-hmm.
being misled by, you know, by your flesh.
That's
you know,
right.
Stop being misled. Stop chasing after these women like that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
They loose, and you know they loose, and you're going to go cross-country because you
mm-hmm.
know they loose. You know you get ready to, you know, get something that you don't have any business getting.
Mm-hmm.
We have to stand up and be people of God, and when the people of God stand up and be the people of God, then God can truly get the glory out of our
yes,
lives.
Yes, He can.
I like you, sister. I like your thought process. I like the stance that you take. I don't expect everybody to agree with the fact that I do endorse internet. If you meet somebody, if you're on a, I even say flirt. If you're single and you know some people are single on internet, I don't have a problem with laughing and cracking jokes and
yeah.
you know, developing a friendship with that person, because that person might well be your husband, might be your mister. You know, he might be your mister. I don't know. Only God knows. But let me tell you, one thing that I do know is that if a woman wants to be married, she has to just go ahead and be a woman. You know, we can't live
right.
in fear. We can't live off so with our head up in the clouds.
That's right.
We have to be spiritual and seek first the kingdom of God, spiritual
That's
things
right.
above fleshly things. But there's nothing wrong with showing some teeth, smiling, being feminine, letting yourself look and smell good, and letting your light shine. I mean,
That's right.
I say if your light shines, somebody is sure to be drawn towards the light.
That's right.
You know, so it's not that difficult. I mean, it really isn't that difficult when you really put it all together. But don't be a fool and don't find yourself in a compromising position.
Right.
Seek first the kingdom of God. You're seated in heavenly places. Who God has for you is for you. And he's out there, and he's looking for you. He's looking for you. Say, LaWanda, he's looking for you. You don't have to look for him.
He is looking
for you. Believe
me. That's right.
There's some man out there who's looking for you because he knows that that's where his blessing is. And finding his wife, his good thing, and he's really going to be blessed when he finds you, girl.
I know that's right.
He is going to be blessed when he finds you because you are truly a gift from the Lord for that husband that is out there looking for you. And I just thank God for you and the insight that you have. Amen. Put into this broadcast. I will be in church tomorrow. I'm going to a service over in Newark. A prophetic conference. I don't even have the information. I'm going to hit you up on Facebook.
Yeah.
Prophetess. Oh my God, Prophetess! I need to get that information. Prophetess Jackson.
I don't know her.
You don't know Prophetess Jackson? That is a woman of God whom I met a year ago at a prophetic conference. I'm trying to think of her. How could I not know her first name? Prophetess Diane Jackson. Let me get the flyer so I can give you the
information. She's from Newark?
She is from Newark. And she wrote a book. I helped her publish her book, Silly Woman Loving a Man. It's the name of her book. It's available at Yahoo and a couple other places.
I was trying to get your book for my birthday.
Well, when is your birthday?
It passed. It was June 5th.
Wow.
Yeah, I was like, I'm going to get her a book for my birthday, but I started doing something else and forgot.
Oh, wow. Well, happy birthday.
Thank you.
Happy birthday. I will have to make sure I'm going to give you a copy of my book for a birthday present.
Oh, thank you.
Yes,
you know my anniversary is this Sunday.
I have another engagement. Believe me, I didn't know that, but I was invited to come out. One of the preachers that was at your church, Lady Simmons, is preaching on Sunday, and she has invited me to come out and support. So I will be going over there at 3:30 on Sunday afternoon.
Okay.
This is her first sermon. This is her trial sermon, and she preached. I don't know if you were there. You were not there that night, the next night after I met you.
No, I had been in revival all week. That next day, I couldn't do it. No, I was so tired. And they told me,
you
missed it. There was like, you missed the treatment, and I was like, soon as I get tired, I miss the treat. Lord have mercy.
But you receive what you need to receive, what God has for you.
But I had to, like, you know, rest and balance myself out, like you said.
Yes, well, this is tomorrow of the church, and this is for all of our listeners. I don't know if you'll get this in time, but this weekend, starting on Thursday, there was a prophetic conference 2010. The same strategic warfare. Is there not here a prophet of the Lord? I don't know all of the people, but I know that Prophetess Diane Jackson is a prophetic person. Tonight they had Apostle Prophet Paula Green. Tomorrow morning at 9 a.m., Prophet Apostle Designate Tamel Stefan Thompson from Greater New Life International Ministries, Inc. in Brooklyn, New York, will be preaching at the 9 o'clock a.m. service. They will break for lunch at noon, and then at 2 o'clock p.m., I'm going to go in the morning, and then I'm going to take care of some church business.
Okay.
I will be back with my husband in the afternoon. Saturday, June the 26th at 2 o'clock p.m., Prophetess Diane Jackson. This is a prophet's prophet. She runs the International School of the Prophets in Newark, New Jersey, and also in Atlanta, Georgia.
Okay.
This woman prophesies with, I would like to say, 99.98% accuracy. And
okay.
She always, always has a word from the Lord. I don't follow many people, but I will definitely be there tomorrow at 2 o'clock. And the church is the New Life Deliverance Church at 100 Grafton Avenue in Newark, New Jersey, where the pastor is the Apostle Vivian Carr. And she is the pastor there. I don't know Apostle Carr. Vivian Carr, but I do know Prophetess Diane Jackson. And I know I met her 3 years ago. She pulled me out of the crowd. I was in the middle of a very crowded church and poured oil on my head. I'll never forget her. I was mourning the loss of my sister who had gone home suddenly to be with the Lord. It's been 3 years, actually the 5th on your birthday, June the 5th. Was 3 years. That's why I know I got to give you a copy of that book. 3 years that my sister went home to be with the Lord suddenly. She was 48 years old, Janice. I love her. She was my number one fan, and she always pushed me. Her hands were always in the middle of my back, pushing me to go forward. But so I had been mourning, and I met Prophetess Jackson 2 weeks after. It was this very same weekend. After my sister went home to be with the Lord, and she ministered to me, and she has come to our church and preached, and I have been to her school, and she is truly a woman of God. The donation, registration donation, is $20 at the door for those of you who are interested in going out. I don't know if you'll be able to make it, woman of God, but it will be worth your trip.
And you said it's on 100 Grafton Avenue?
It's on 100 Grafton Avenue in Newark. So that is something you put in your MapQuest. And, you know, come on over to Newark. It's not too far from me, actually. I'm off Bloomfield Avenue. And it's not too far.
Because I'm over here by Chancellor Avenue.
Oh, okay. You're in Newark. Okay, so
I'm from Newark.
Okay, so you're across town, then. You just will come. Are you driving?
No.
Okay, so you will come across town. Now, I don't know. I know Grafton is like a couple blocks in from Bloomfield Avenue, so your 27 would probably come all the way over. The 27 would probably come all the way over to this side. If you come on this side of town, after I leave there, I might have to come over to your side of town to go over to Crossroads of Life Bookstore over in Hillside. So
down,
I will make sure.
Down the hill from me.
Okay, good. So I'll make sure you get back if I see you there.
Yeah. I could just take the 90 bus to Bloomfield Avenue and take the 27 down.
Okay, yeah. Just find out how far Grafton is.
Okay.
I think Grafton runs across Bloomfield Avenue. I don't know. I don't really know. But I would go on to New Jersey Transit and ask them, put in the address, and they'll tell you what bus to take.
Right. Well, I got GPS on my phone. I'll just put it in there.
Oh, okay. So you're set. Well, then I will see you over there. I love technology, too. So I'm going to be getting up. See, I tell you, kindred spirits. I will be getting up early in the morning. So I'm going to close out this broadcast. I sure enjoyed you, woman of God. Thank you so much for calling in.
No problem.
I enjoyed this late night, Friday Night Live. I might do a couple of these. If I'm busy on Saturdays, I'll do a Friday Night Live here and there. So keep your eyes open.
You know, I do. I'll be looking for your segments. I mean, I haven't did a segment on mine in a minute, but I'll be starting that back up soon. But I just love to hear your second. I mean, because you speak about what people don't speak about and afraid to speak about. Oh, you shouldn't talk about that. Why not?
Exactly.
And people who want to know.
The Bible tells us in Titus that the older women should teach.
That's right.
The younger women. And this is a platform, and I talked about it earlier. It's an open door. Now, I might not be, there are times when I will come on here and I will preach. There are other times that I will come and I will talk to you. I will preach in the talking, because we have to be able to break this down in a practical way so that I'm not going to be hoodwinked and bamboozled when I go out there and try to live life. Because
right.
there are wolves and sheep's clothing out there.
That's
and if
right.
no one ever tells me, how am I supposed to know? So I considered all of the women that listen to be the younger women
right.
That I am teaching. As a 48-year-old woman, I have a lot of experience in the world and out of the world. And I thank God for bringing me out of the world. I really do. But I tell you one thing that I was an expert in, and it was men. So I believe that God doesn't strip you of the knowledge that you gained while you were in the world. You can take that knowledge and turn it into wisdom so that your experiences can help somebody else avoid making the same mistakes that you made. So that's my whole motive in what I do, Christian Women of Power, the organization that I have, the broadcast that I do, in my preaching. When I preach, I'm very real. Because I believe that I can't help nobody by being fake, by being phony, and by putting on airs.
That's
so
right.
Let's just keep it real, and then we can help each other. So I love you, my sister.
Love you
I'm
too,
going man. To bed. My husband's in bed. He's not going to let me do too many of these Friday Night Lives, but he did let me do this one, and he did go to bed. So I'm going to go upstairs and join my husband, in
right.
bed to go to sleep. I'm going to sleep, and I will wake up tomorrow, and I will go to church. I'm looking for a blessed time in the Lord. I look to see you tomorrow.
All right.
And make sure you come over to me. I'm so many different people, but don't let just make sure you get my attention, because it might be very crowded there tomorrow.
Right.
So make sure that you get my attention, and I will get you back across town,
okay.
back to your home,
thank
door
you.
To door. Amen?
Amen. Thank you.
Amen. So thank you for calling in. And for all of our listeners out there, tune in on next Saturday. I believe I'll be back on my regular schedule on next week. So call in on next Saturday. Tell some friends about Woman to Woman with Pastor Rebecca Simmons, where we do nothing more than glorify the Lord and keep it real. Let us pray. Father God, we praise your holy name. Lord, we worship you, and we magnify your name on today. We thank you, Lord, for this is the day that you have made, and we are rejoicing and being glad in it. Lord, I thank you for this time that you have allowed me to come and be a part of this Block Talk Radio broadcast. I thank you, Lord, for the open door. I thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to speak into the lives of my sisters and my brothers, oh God. I thank you for my caller, Sister LaWanda, Father God. I thank you for what you have put in her, for the wisdom that you have put in her heart. I thank you for the zeal and the fervor that you have given her for your word. I thank you for her broadcast, Father God, and even yet what you're about to do, Father God, pertaining to that vehicle that you have given her to spread the gospel, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for even opening, Father God, up the eyes of her understanding to show her the direction that she should take, Father God, pertaining to her own broadcast that you have given her the vision to launch. So, Lord, I thank you for the blessing that vests upon her life. I thank you for her husband that is yet looking for her. Thank you for her children, God, that they shall rise up and call her blessed, oh God. I thank you, Lord, for her life. I thank you for her pastors, for Pastor Flagg and his wife, Lady yes. Flagg, oh God. Thank yes. you for their church and the ministry that they have over yes. there in the city of Linden, oh God. Thank you for the work that you have, Father God, called them to do as a church. So, Lord, we ask, Father God, right now that you bless this broadcast, that you bless the words that we have spoken from our mouths, that you bless the archives, oh God, so that every woman that listens, every man that listens will receive wisdom, that they will receive a spirit of discernment to know how to go forward, even with social networking, oh God. And Lord, we thank you, Lord, even though for those people who, Father God, who are looking for their husband, for their wives, and for those wives who are waiting for their husbands, that they will both, male and female, seek first your kingdom and your righteousness, oh God, that they will first allow themselves to be sanctified, that they will allow themselves to be healed and set free from the bondage that the enemy has had them in for so many years, so that when they come into marriage, that they can be healed and whole, oh Lord, so that they can be, Father God, vessels of your glory, so they can be instruments of healing for the people that they will encounter along the way, and even for their respective spouses. So, Lord, bless me and bless my husband, bless my marriage, bless my children, bless my sisters and bless my brothers. Bless their homes, their families, their marriages, their children, their ministries, oh God. Lord, we give this time to you. Have your way and let your will be done. As we go down from this place, we praise you. We glorify your name. Hallelujah. You're worthy, oh God. We thank you for what you've done and what you are yet to do. And bless our tomorrows, oh God. Even now we pray in the precious name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Amen and Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Amen. Jesus. God bless you, my sister.
Thank
Go in peace.
You.
I'll see you tomorrow or okay. later today. Go okay. in peace and
yeah.
serve the Lord. I love you.
Love you, too.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.